Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I got to tell you, this interview is going to be not only informative to me, but hopefully to our listeners. And we want to say welcome to our guest, John Strophas. He is here. He is the president of the Minnesota Hemp Farms, and they are actually going to be rolling out a wonderful product line at Spiral Foods and other places near you. So first of all, welcome to you. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Mo. So happy to be here.
Well, happy.
Thanks for KDWA for hosting us.
So nice. I know. So you are a farmer.
Yes, I am.
You are a farmer. And let's give a little bit of background. You are from?
I'm from Hastings. So I was a 1993 graduate from Hastings High School. And my wife and family, we live up in Denmark Township off of 90th Street.
And you grew up on a farm?
I did. Our family grew up boarding horses. We raise and show American Quarter horses, and we run a commercial horse boarding operation. And then we have a hay and forage program for most of our cropland that we have. And we have a relatively small farm, only about 95 acres.
Well, on those 95 acres, though, it's a very interesting new venture for you. And I got to be real honest with you. I'm very in the dark about many things, but specifically about hemp. So what you're doing is legal, yes?
That's correct.
Do you get that a lot from people?
Yeah, we do. It's important clarifying point. So basically in March, or last year, in 2015, state of Minnesota passed legislation so that we could grow industrial hemp, which is different from marijuana. So marijuana has a THC level that is above 0.3%.
And what is THC, please?
THC is the psychoactive. So that's what gives you the high of marijuana. And in industrial hemp, there's no psychoactive. So it's below 0.3%. So to give you perspective, medical marijuana probably has THC levels that are 5% all the way up to maybe even 30% in some of their really potent strains. And THC is not even a tenth, or is 0.3% of that percent. So we kind of joke that you'd have to smoke a whole field of it and not have any psychoactive effect. So it's truly an agriculture product, and it got lumped in with the prohibition of marijuana as a Schedule I narcotic with the Drug Enforcement Agency and the Controlled Substances Act. So unfortunately, it's been prohibited to be grown since about 1950 because of that association.
And how much of this did you know before last March?
Very little. I knew of hemp, but I, like most in the public, I thought hemp had some association to marijuana. I thought it was the fiber of the marijuana plant. And so it's been an education, and it's something that we deal and talk with whenever we're talking about industrial hemp. But I think this is going to be one of the things where people don't know a lot about it now, but in 5 years, probably everybody will have some understanding of what hemp is and that it's different from marijuana.
And is marijuana also called hemp, though?
It is not.
It is not? So why were they lumped together?
Good question. I think, there's different versions of that history, but essentially, there wasn't really a good way to distinguish the plants from each other. So if you think about sweet corn and field corn,
yes,
that's probably the best way to think about marijuana and industrial hemp. They're both cannabis plants, like corn is a corn plant, but they're different varieties and they have different chemical makeups. So marijuana strains in cannabis have high THC and industrial hemp does not. So industrial hemp is grown predominantly as a food product. But the fiber can also be used in all sorts of different textiles and manufacturing, including, and probably, one of the most lucrative right now is in the fiber market for door panels for high-end automobiles. They use industrial hemp fiber because it is much lighter and it's also stronger than fiberglass.
Crazy. Wow. So when the legislature passed this in March, was this even on the radar, that this was maybe something, were you watching this go through? the legislature or no?
Yeah, we were watching it. You know, I didn't really have focus on hemp per se, that this was definitely something that we wanted to do. After the legislature passed the law, then the Department of Agriculture needed to enact a pilot program to structure the growth of it. And unfortunately, there was no budget that was allocated to them for doing that originally. So they were doing it with existing staff, and it slowed the process a bit. So we didn't find out about the program that it was available to apply for until March of last year. And that was a very short time period to line up our planting and to get things organized and to import the planting seed, because there's no planting seed that's approved in the United States for use. It all has to be imported.
Where do you get it from?
We're using Canadian varieties, which are grown predominantly for grain. There's multiple different varieties, and they're typically either a grain focus or a fiber focus, and then there's some hybrid varieties where you can use it for both purposes. But our focus has been on grain for food production, and then we are selling in the wholesale market the straw or the fiber for use in textiles.
That is crazy. So who all is involved in this, John, besides you?
Well, we're a very small company. So officially, from an officer perspective, it's a company of one. I have a great friendship with a gentleman, Ben Thermos, from Hastings. And Ben, we actually worked together on some of our hay and forage production. And we actually did a planting this year on one of his smaller fields. So Ben's been working and helping me facilitate farming aspect of things. And we also had some other help from some neighboring farmers helping out with different components like field cleaning, and also some of our harvesting was interesting because not a lot of people wanted to try this. Robert Bauer, also from Hastings here just south of town, he actually helped us and did the custom harvesting and grain drying for us. So that was a huge help. And thanks to Robert and Ben for all their assistance.
So this was your first season, and is it similar to, let's say, a corn crop, or how long is the season? What does this plant look like? How big does it get? What are you harvesting?
Yeah, the height of the plant will vary based on the variety. So much like corn and other agriculture products, depending on the variety, your heights will vary. On grain crop, maybe 4 feet tall, up to our variety was approximately 6 foot tall, so head height. The fiber varieties will get even larger, some as high as 12 feet tall, but we're focused on shorter varieties so that we can harvest them with a traditional combine.
And is that something you had to kind of retrofit, the traditional combine?
We really didn't have to make too many modifications. There's some things to watch out for with the wrapping of the fiber around the moving parts. And the drier the crop is, the more of that wrapping of the fiber that you have to be concerned with. But generally speaking, if you're harvesting grain crops, you can use your traditional equipment to harvest hemp.
So do you have hooligans out in your fields?
We really did not. And one of the things that we, kind of an interesting story, when we went through approval, part of the application process was that we had to submit a letter from law enforcement. And Sheriff Hutton from Washington County, we're in the Washington County side of the district here, and he really took an agnostic view to it, essentially. He said, you know, if it's legal, it's legal. If it's not, it's not. And it sounds like it's legal, so great. But he wasn't in the business of endorsing one particular business activity over the other. So really, law enforcement was very neutral on it. And we didn't have any hooligans, so to speak, of running out in the field and trying to harvest it. If they did, they were kind of on a fool's errand. It was a little bit exciting. I think we did have some good-natured county deputies that took some spotlight selfies about midnight. We caught them one night out there, and I think they were having fun so that they could talk about their big drug bust on their next shift break. But that was all in good fun, and we enjoyed the support of the law enforcement.
Well, because I do think there is not only mystery around what you are doing, but also giggles.
One of the things that law enforcement had originally been concerned around is that you can hide marijuana in industrial hemp because it looks the same.
Right.
And it's true that there's no way to distinguish the plants from each other in plain view. However, the way the genetics of the plants work, if you planted marijuana and industrial hemp next to each other, the traits of the industrial hemp with the low THC will essentially impact the potency of marijuana. So it will bring the THC and ruin essentially the marijuana effect in that particular plant. So really there's no concern about hiding this, hiding marijuana inside an industrial hemp field.
But you can see how people maybe would think that that might be a concern. So getting back to this whole, the process, so you planted this and you just watched it grow and then you harvested it. Did it meet your expectations? What was going to happen this first year? I mean, my head is spinning thinking you started this all just in March.
Right. It's been a very fast pace and it's something that everything is new. So we've been relying a lot on expertise from growers in Canada who have been growing the crop since 1998. So for the coming year, we're actually a seed broker for some of those genetic seed producing companies in Canada. They were helpful in consulting with us and advising on some tips and tricks. But everything has been a learning process. I would say we are very fortunate. I don't know if it was beginner's luck or not, but we had a very successful crop. We got planted very late due to receiving our seed late. Unfortunately, we didn't plant until about June 17th, which is extremely late for any crop. But given the good growing conditions last year, the high moisture, we really had a phenomenal crop and the yield was great, even by Canadian experienced grower standards. So we had good soil fertility and we did a good job at managing that. And then we were blessed with good luck and good weather. So we feel like we're off to a great start. We're hoping in 2017 we can do as good or exceed those expectations.
Let's talk about what you did with the yield.
Good question. So we had approximately 18 acres that were planted, and we had around 29,000 pounds of grain that came off of that. Generally speaking, anything 1,000 to 1,200 pounds per acre is a really good yield for industrial hemp, so we did very well in that regard. And then our focus is not just growing as a commodity, and because of the challenges with the market of hemp right now, our focus has been in creating a brand. So we created a brand called Field Theory with the tagline, Bring Hemp to Life. Then we are creating products to bring to the market within that brand. So our first product, or our flagship product, if you will, is the Field Theory Hemp Hearts. And the hemp hearts is another term for the hulled hemp seed. So basically we run it through a dehuller and we take the shell off and we get to the meat of the seed. So if you think of a sunflower and the innard of a sunflower, that's what this product is. And it can be put on salads, it can be put in yogurt, it can be put in smoothies for breakfast type products, and then also in baking goods. So if you're baking banana bread and you wanted to put an extra protein additive. And then we have another market in the wholesale space where we're working with existing manufacturers of different food products who, for example, a snack company had a product and it was a very health focused product, but they had really low protein. So they were familiar with hemp and the high protein content of the oilseed, and they're looking to incorporate hemp as an ingredient now in that snack bar that they have.
And then talk about, you also brought some oil.
The oil can be used like as a salad dressing or a topping oil or to mix. It's not necessarily a great cooking oil because of the lower flash point of the oil, but the oil also has commercial uses outside of the food consumer market, and that would be for manufacturing purposes, like for lip balms and lotions, shampoos and conditioners. We're actually planning to bring a lip balm to market here in the next few months, followed by our hulled hemp product, and then we also have a roasted product. And that will be the whole seed, so with the shell and everything, that's dry roasted. And that will be a snack food type product.
You know, you were kind enough to give me samples of both of the products that you have, the hemp heart and then the roasted product. Very interesting, very nutty tasting, and I can see how it would be a great topping. I'm even thinking ice cream or,
yes.
You know, I mean, lots of opportunities for people to pack a little protein in a hidden way. Fabulous.
Yeah, we have some friends. We've been giving them samples of that, and so they've been doing a lot of experimenting with baking and just different ways to have a healthy type product that they consume. Gluten-free, non-GMO, vegan, all good things.
It is, and I think that that's, once again, once we know what to do with some of these products, then your business will continue to take off.
I hope so. That's the plan.
Well, it's a great plan, and right now you are rolling out your products in Spiral Foods?
Yes. We talk with them first. We talked with them early last summer when we were growing, and they were very open to talking with us when we had our product completed. And I'm happy to report that they were the first retailer to pick up our product, and we'll be delivering to them before Valentine's Day. So we have a soft launch around the product for our hemp hearts for Valentine's Day.
I get it. I'm going to give you one of these.
Awesome. You know, we're initially focused on the food market.
Yes.
Because that's the biggest demand. And by the way, the United States is the largest importer and consumer of hemp in the world. So it's a mystery why we can't grow it. And
right.
We have to import so much of it from Canada and other countries. So the market is here in the food side. And then in the nutraceutical market, there's also another large use for hemp. And inside the chemistry of the hemp plant, there's basically two significant things to keep in mind. There's THC, which I talked about earlier, is the psychoactive side of it. And then there's a whole group of things called cannabinoids. And the most famous cannabinoid right now is CBD. And CBD is a substance that has, I won't make a medical claim, but it has effects to that nature. So if you have a medical marijuana patient, they are likely receiving a component from one of those companies that has not only THC for a specific purpose, but they have high concentrations of CBD. And the CBD will act as an anti-inflammatory, for example. And then children that have epileptic seizures, they're finding that CBD is the active component that has the treatment or the effect to reduce those seizures for those children. So CBD is an active component, and there's no difference in the CBD that comes from industrial hemp versus the CBD that comes from medical marijuana. So we can deliver essentially a nutraceutical product from an agricultural commodity.
Incredible. And not have the negative side effects. It's all the positive stuff.
That's correct.
I got to tell you, John, this is just fabulous. Congratulations on your new company. Our guest today, John Strofus, he is the president of Minnesota Hemp Farms, and do visit Spiral Foods because they're rolling out Field Theory's brand of hemp hearts. So
thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Thanks for coming in today. You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.